Thank you, sir. Amen. Now, turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have in Christ. Father, fill our hearts with your love and joy. Fill our minds with clarity and discernment. Father, fill our spirits with hope and contentment. We thank you for this day. We thank you that we can worship you freely in this country. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, there are a lot of things I'm grateful for in this life. And I want to take the opportunity to introduce to you a couple that I always introduce when they come here, and that is Derek and Lynn Clay. Come on. Can I just want to give a hug. Good to see you, brother. Love you too. Hey, Lynn. Good to see you. Hello. It's your niece. Okay, hello, niece. How are you? Good. I always want to give them special praise. I always want to mention them every time they come to our church. Derek and Lynn were converted here in Tallahassee in the 80s, and Lynn is from here. Her maiden name is Hardy, and she is from Tallahassee, and Derek is from Fort Lauderdale, and I love them. Because Greg Perkins, as you know, reached out to me. We're on the baseball team at FAMU, and Greg was a tremendous example, a tremendous light. Greg was not dating at the time. He was looking for a sister, but he was not dating. And Derek and Lynn, in my 18-year-old mind, they were a couple that I was amazed by. I was amazed by their purity, their joy, their peace, the way that they gave. And I looked at them and I wanted to have a girlfriend, a relationship just like that. And I want to thank Derek and Lynn for setting such a great example to not only me, but to many, many brothers and sisters here. You inspired me. You gave me hope. And you guys got to understand, fam, you had 8 women to every guy. You know how tough it was to be a Christian at FAMU? And a pure one? If I didn't have those examples, couldn't have made it. Now, Derek is a little older than me. And so when you fellowship today with Derek, he may tell you some stories about flag football. And he may go and talk about how he outran me and outmaneuvered me. Remember, he's slightly older than me. And he slips in and out of dementia. So, I just want to lay that out when you talk to him, because he's going to bring it up, okay? I love the Christmas season. I love the Christmas season, and I know that for many of us, it's not our favorite season for a variety of reasons. But for me, growing up in Tallahassee, and I grew up in Woodgate, we had the luminaries where you had this bag and you had sand in it, and they would put it on the curb, and it would line up the streets of our neighborhood. I remember those days very vividly. I remember neighbors gathering in different corners and singing Christmas carols. and having hot cocoa and making chocolate chip cookies. And I would go from corner to corner, robbing people of their chocolate chip cookies. And I was a little fast back then, so I could wear a black hoodie and be gone. I remember my dad and him decorating the palm tree and the door and the windows and the bushes with Christmas lights. I remember us having our Christmas tree, and it was, you know, we got the fake one, and we had it like since 1969, and we use it every year, you know. And all we would do is put a little extra snow on it, you know. And then, but it was so tedious, we would take it off. And back in those days, they didn't have like three parts. They had like every little thing was, you know, and so it'd take about 5 days to get that thing in there, you know. And my dad said, forget this. After about 10 years, he said, I'm going to keep it in the garage as is. And he put a cover over it and stuck it in the corner. And then we would take it out, put some snow on it, whang! Oh, yeah, man, that was awesome, man. I was like, thank God, because I was like a doggone surgeon, you know. And I remember my dad, every year he would film me waking up and seeing my toys for the second time. You know? Oh, I'd already seen them. Come on, man. I snuck in there about 4 in the morning. I was like, yeah, woo, you know, rock 'em, sock 'em robots, you know. And so he would film me, and then my mom, she would make this huge meal and invite all my relatives over, and she would do all the cooking. And my cousin Mary would help her clean afterward, and she never wanted anybody to cook anything. She just wanted them to come over and enjoy the holidays. And my 380-pound cousin Slick would bring the sweet potato pie. And those are great memories. Looking back, I love the season more than I did the reason for the season. And that was common because I didn't know the child. I remember the baby in the manger scene. I thought it was cool, but I didn't really understand the significance of that child. I needed someone to explain who was contained in that child. Isaiah, the prophet's explanation would have helped me if I would have known this passage of Scripture. Isaiah 9, in the Old Testament, there are over 300 prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah wrote this 700 years before the birth of Christ. 700 years before that baby came on the scene. And he wrote this, Isaiah 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. This text is not only for this season, it's for all seasons. It's for all people. Verse 1, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. This is a good beginning line, and it is good news. It comes as a surprise because the last verse of chapter 8 is about people being driven in the darkness. It is a gloomy picture. Isaiah's time. So this is good news for Israel, but it's also good news from the for the world, because in here and in this child we find hope. Isaiah had every reason to despair. He was given a sense of light, a little flicker of light, 700 years before it would arrive. The gloom part. The Assyrian Empire had encased the northern kingdom of Israel and were threatening Judah in the south. It was a dangerous and gloomy time for God's people. In chapter 9, Isaiah sees a bright light. He writes that there will be peace on earth, not because of the kings. There will be peace on earth, not because of the governments. He wasn't looking for a king or a government to bring peace. He was looking to a child. To a child. To bring peace. No ordinary child. In verse 6. For to us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. No ordinary child. This child, do you know his name? His name is Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God with us. Names in the Bible are extremely important. Do you know why? Why are names in the Bible so important? Anybody know? Take a guess. A gander. Why are names so important? Yeah. Always come with the meaning. And what kind of meaning do they come with? What do you think? Yeah. Okay. It could be. It could be. Yeah, names could inspire us. Yes. Defines our character. So you have names in the Bible that have a meaning, and it defines the character. Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, conveying a message, delivering a message through a name. A name represents a character. And so a name is important. And here, Isaiah says, for to us a child is born. Now this name, Emmanuel, God with us, and he's saying to us, for to us a child is born. He is born a child. He is born of a natural birth. Huh. But then he also says, for to us a son is given. So in this baby, you have a child that is born of a natural birth, but you also have a son who is given. He was a son, a child, and a son. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, So he sent us a son through a natural childbirth. As God's son, he cannot be born. Isn't that wild? As a son, because he's eternal. Can I get an amen on that? I know it's kind of mysterious and crazy, but well, he's a son, but he's also a child. That's why God's ways are higher than our ways. Because in John 1, he said in verse 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So the Son was with God in the beginning, but he was born in a manger. All right, we can take a time out and halftime break and get some Gatorade and come on back. It's a lot to work on. The child and the son is more than a man. The character, he is a wonderful counselor. Mighty God. It's not just wonderful, a counselor, mighty in God. He's a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, and a prince of peace. That's describing this child. The infinite became finite. The divine became a man. The immortal became mortal. What a great mystery. During this season, we will take 4 weeks to take a bite at describing him. It's a little bite. And Isaiah says, because of this child, this son, there will be no more gloom. The government will be on his shoulders. That's big shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. This is another way of saying he is a king that will rule. He's a king that will rule. He is a young child, yet a wise counselor. He is a son, yet a father. Each name is given to reveal his person and his character. All right, getting a little sense of this child and how important and special he is. We just shouldn't read over these names. We should meditate on them. We should contemplate them. We should consider them deeply and how they affect our lives. How this child, what child is this? Well, you answer that question. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Our name for the day is Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. We have a counselor. We have a counselor. What a blessing. We have a counselor. Some of us have many counselors, right? Now, I was a psychology major in college. And I appreciate psychology. I appreciate any psychologist, therapist, and I think they have their place. You got to remember, you know, 150 years ago, they had no place, really. And I believe in that, and I believe that, shoot, I take Sam E. I need it. But it's a supplement and not a source. I want to be guided to the source, to the great counselor. So all the medicine and all the counseling, if it doesn't lead us to Jesus, then that's not enough. Because he is the wonderful counselor. To have a counselor of this magnitude is complicated and confusing. Because this world is complicated and confusing. I'm in need of a counselor, and I'm not ashamed of it. Do you know why? Because I'm complicated and confused. And I get there just about 3 times a day. I'm complicated and I'm confused. On Friday, we talked about 2 scriptures, and one of them was Jeremiah 17:9, that reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? A counselor. A wonderful counselor. Can I get an amen on that? I am confused and complicated, and I need some counseling. The heart is deceitful. I can't trust my insides, my inner man. I don't trust him. He's deceitful, he's insidious, and he is subtle and harmful in many ways. I don't trust him. I live with him. I don't trust him. What's inside of me is beyond cure. I can't fix it myself. There's no amount of money that will fix it. No relationship that can fix it. No honor can fix it. It's desperately sick and incurable on its own. I need my counselor. I need counsel. I can't leave him alone and expect great results. My heart needs help. And as I said on Friday, I need a spiritual pacemaker. And so do you. Left alone, without the influence of God and others in my life, I die inside. I thank God I have a wonderful counselor. In a world filled with bad, complicated, and confusing counsel, I need a wonderful counselor. Amen. And he is wonderful. This world is in need of a wonderful counselor, and that word wonderful, the word is not an adjective, it's a noun. It means God's miracles. Wonderful means God's miracles. We have a counselor that's a miracle of God. In Psalm 78:12, he did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt in the region of Zoan. It's basically talking about the parting of the Red Sea. That's a miracle. And that describes this word, wonderful. This wonder is incomprehensible in the mind of man. The wonder is too wonderful to explain. It's miraculous. It's amazing. And guess what? It's free. It's free. The couch is always available.
Yeah, it is. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Diana. Amen. Amen. I need that couch. There are times in my life that I question his counsel. I question his counsel. When I have crazy twists and turns and trials, I question his guidance. It's very difficult to trust in the providence of God, his protective care. His providence is full of mystery, as someone said, but no mistakes. God's providence is full of mystery, but no mistakes. And there are times when I accuse his providence. And I go, come on, God, you're leaving me out here. You're not truly guiding me. And I think about the story of Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. God was way ahead. Way ahead. Jacob didn't know. His brothers didn't know. They didn't know about the famine that was going to come. They didn't know about him being number two in Egypt. They didn't realize that his providence, his care was way ahead of them. And many times we live right here. Right here today. And many of us, we go back and we live back in the day. But we don't look for the providence of God. And so we're not going to sit on his couch. And you believe he's led you astray. We all can be assured that all that happens in life is for our good. And it's challenging to wrestle with that thought. He knows best. He knows how to best meet our needs. Needs. Not wants. but needs. Do you know what I need? That list of what I need rarely matches what I want. I mean, I'm like, can you give me just kind of, can they communicate, you know? No. What I think I need, I don't want. I'm sorry, what I need, I don't want. What I think I need, I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have. This counselor, how do you know if you're in the presence of a good counselor? How do you know? Yeah. Great listener. Great listener. How do you know? Yes. Woo. Wow. They know you. They take the time to get to know you. They're not just going on a script, right? They know you. They know your ways. They know you. Yes. Susan. They give you work to do. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Cheryl. But I want the cheat sheet, though. I want the answer, right? I want it. They don't give it to me? That's a bad counselor, right? Yeah, yeah, it's career. Ooh, tells you the truth. Tells you the truth. Yeah, yeah. You don't want to go to someone who dropped out after three semesters. You're like, no, I ain't going to you, man. I need to counsel you, you know. No, one who is proven, right? Yeah. Damn. Not judgmental. Yes. Yeah, non-judgmental. You know, when you somebody goes, oh, I got you all. I all figured out. You don't want that person. You want them to figure you out, learn about you. Yeah, Nate. They got facts, okay? All right, facts. Yes. They care. All of these things we just shared. Yeah, yes, Nancy. Yeah, Nancy. Give encouragement. Stand up, Anthony. Encouragement, that word means side by side, right with you. Come on, let's walk together. Let's walk. Come on. I'm right with you. I'm right with you. Yeah, I'm encouraging him. I'm right there with you. Right there, right? Thank you. Give Anthony a hand. He's a great. So many times we think God is way ahead of us, way behind us. He's left the building. He's on another continent. But encouragement, he's right beside you. That takes faith. Takes faith. They understand your problems, all that you shared. They provide you with guidance. We know that no human counselor has the answers for the problems of the soul. No human counselor. You can go to the best in the world, they are deficient in giving you all the answers of your soul. And I'm going to leave you this morning with two scriptures that will hopefully catapult you to this wonderful counselor. The first scripture in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I love God describing the counselor, the wonderful counselor we have. And I wonder if we forget from time to time. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He's able to help those who are being tempted. What about the scripture inspires you about the counselor that we have? What's so wonderful about him? Yeah. He knows what it is. He's personally been there. You ever had the temptation to go, God, you don't know? No one knows. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen, right? I mean, I can feel sorry for myself, feel like a victim, but he knows. He's been through it. Yes. The high position is the son that was given. That's the high position. He was there from the beginning. He created the world. That's the high position. He came down as a child. That's the kind of counsel we have. Somebody else had a hand up? Yes. 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 And I love that because not only did he understand what we've gone through, he said, you know what? I'm going to die on a cross, naked. I'm going to get flogged, spat on, slapped, punched, ridiculed. I'll go far beyond what you go through. I'll take it a step higher. Yeah. Somebody, yes, Jenny. Empathy. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right. Sees it all, limps and all, right? Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yes. He didn't just say, come to my office. He came to ours. He came to our house, our alley, our dungeon, our jail. Yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. That blew me away, Bill, to know that Jesus was tempted just like me. I go, God, you don't know what it means to be at FAMU with eight women and one man. And he goes, yeah, I do. Wasn't at FAMU, but yeah, I do. Right? He understands the temptation of lust, the temptation of being fearful. Just like we do. You want to talk about a counselor. If you had that kind of counsel, how much would you pay for that kind of counsel? And yet we get it for what? Free. Last scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. And I love that. But one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. This wonderful counselor is so amazing that not only is he able to empathize in our temptations and our sins, in a sense, but he's able to empathize with our weaknesses. You know, many times we'll confess our sin, but we don't know how to confess our weaknesses. It took me a long while, and I'm still learning how to say, I need you. I need my wife. I need my family. I need my brothers in my life. I need the body. I need the blood. I need the light. I need his word. I need the hope of heaven. I need. Coming from, I was a spoiled, independent, only child who didn't need anybody. Help us in our time of need. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence. What child is this? What child is this? He's a child born, a son given, and a wonderful and amazing counselor. And it's free. Enjoy your day.